worship and praise is crucial to the heart of the believer. You must praise the Lord. And you go someplace, they say, well, you anywhere you want to praise God, just praise God. Well, that's not right. That's a nice thing to say, but it's not right. You praise God according to his excellent greatness. You praise God according to his excellent grace. And the Bible tells us how we should worship God and how we should praise God. One way, we can just wave our hands. We can rejoice before God. We can dance. We can shout. It's all good. Sometimes we can praise God real soft. But you know what? We're trying to condition you for heaven. Because the Bible says it's a loud praise going forth in heaven. Some, if you're sitting here watching your watch during worship and praise time, I tell you what, you got to work out to condition for that long marathon. Those angels never stop singing. You know, some people, they get out there and they're like, man, when do we get through this? We're conditioning you. That's what life is all about. Don't you know that's what you were created to do? Don't you know that's what you're created to do? And you know what? Once you tap into the inside of your heart and to the inside of your spirit, there's a song going on in the inside of you. Everybody's not going to sing like an angel, so we can all hum. You can just let it all out and just worship God, because worship is crucial and worship is important. That's what you're created to do. Do you know that? What do you think you're going to heaven for? You got a job. You're in the band. What do you think you're going to heaven for? I mean, you're in the band. He doesn't need any extra gods up there. He's up there so that you're going to go to heaven, that you might worship God, that you might praise God. And if you want to find out where you are with God, don't think of how much stuff you can quote out of your mouth, but check your worship. Check your devotion. Check your attitude as people worship God and as people praise God. It's a spiritual thing and it's a crucial thing. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. I tell you one way you can just do it. You just lift your hand and say, Lord, I love you. Father, I love you. I praise you. I give you glory. I give you worship. I give you honor. I give you praise. There is no God like you, not in all the earth. You know what? When you come on Sunday morning, and you go anywhere on Sunday morning, you go there. You know why they call it a worship service? People go to churches and they say worship service at this time. They do everything but worship the Lord. They tell everybody about their life and what they can do to make life a little bit better, but they forget what the service is all about. It's all about Jesus and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find that as you worship God, many of the things that you're dealing with, many of the problems that you have will fade away. What you magnify and what you glorify is what will be big in your life. You keep talking about your problems, and that's the number one thing you think about, you'll leave with a big problem. But if you go in there and you magnify Jesus Christ, I tell you what, he will be exalted and your faith will be increased throughout that week if you'd learn to do that. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with a little bit of your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all your soul, and with all thy might. Give it all you got. I mean, isn't it a trip that usually people give what they love the most all they've got? We hold back on, you know, the one that we should love the most is the one we hold back on the most. But if we get out there, when we go exercise, and we give it everything we got. We want to look good. Well, do you know what? In your worship and your praise, worship and praise is a form of showing God how much you love him. It's an intimate time. And the right way to praise God and the right way to worship God is, as long as it's all you got, it's okay. Don't worry about anybody else. Give it everything you've got. Don't worry about if anybody gets mad. Give it everything you've got. I think we should have an everything you've got worship service one time, just where you wear it out and give it everything you've got. But you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your might. And it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Love God. How many of you love the Lord? Who do you love the most? Who do you love the most? I know, let's take God out of the picture just for a little bit, just for a little bit. And think about the person you care about. How many mothers do we have in here? How many mothers do you have in here? A lot of mothers, and then dads, you know, different people. Sometimes you love your wife, sometimes you love your husband. Well, you should love them at all times. But listen, that same love is what the Bible is talking about here. Is that there should be a love and a devotion in your heart toward God, to where you feel passion toward him. And you'll never be an effective Christian until you can, what? Muster up a little bit of love and devotion. Now, there's been some Looney Tune people out there, and I call them Looney Tune people because they think they know the Bible, but they miss so many things. When it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all their mind," that means that it's okay to get emotional, that it's a God thing. You know what? God gave you your emotions that you might use them to worship Him with. And a lot of people got their emotions out of sync. Someone says, "I'm just going through the change of life," or whatever it is, and they just go berserk. Well, I tell you what, if you want to put your emotions back in sync again, if you want to control your emotions, you want to control your life, the first thing you do is get your priorities in order and start to honor God with your emotions. Start to master by honoring God with your emotions in worship. It's a wonderful thing. How many of you would love to have, you know, you want to marry someone and there's no emotional bond to that person whatsoever? No, you want to hear a little bit of music in the background. You want it to be special. You know, you want to see tulips and hear all the sweet music. Well, I'll tell you what, your relationship with God as a believer, it should be the same way. You can nurture yourself and you can study the Word of God that every time you think of Jesus, you hear music. Every time you think of Jesus, you hear music. Many people are just saved because they just don't want to go to hell. Seriously. You know, many people are just in church because they just don't want to go to hell, so they just stay in church. I tell you what, I've gotten to the point to where if there wasn't a heaven, and if there wasn't a hell, I'd still love Him. But there is a heaven and there is a hell. But I love Jesus because He's the greatest thing ever. Nobody will love you like God will love you. It gets way beyond that. You love God because He's good. How would you like to marry somebody just because, well, he's better than the one I had before, or she's better than the one I had before? Well, no. You go for God because He's the best thing. He's the best thing for you. And you need to learn to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. Somebody said, you're going to learn to love. Okay, and that love, it means to have affection for. That word love, affection. Affection. To have an affection for God. This might be hard for some. From men like to be real rough and like to be real tough. We don't like to show any affection. We get a real hard time when the hug time comes. We don't want to, you know, we're the manly man. We don't want to get into that. You know, men worship one way and women worship. I tell you, the best worshiper in the Bible was David. The best worshiper in the Bible was David. David loved God. Jesus is an emotional person. You know that? Jesus is so many times in the Bible you hear Jesus saying, I was talking to my friend Dean, and we were saying, you know what? So many times in the Bible you hear about Jesus, He was so moved with compassion. That means He had emotions. He walked by the Spirit, but His emotions were also in sync with the Word of God. I tell you what, when God totally takes you over and gives you completely to Him, when you give yourself completely to God, God will give Himself completely to you, to where you walk in the Spirit and you'll be able to discern things. All of your senses will be turned on. I mean, you can just be moved like Jesus was moved. You would be able. One of the greatest books that you could ever read is The Divine Flow by Brother John Osteen. And Brother Osteen got his life together to the point and his heart together to the point to where he could discern what the Spirit of God was doing by the move of his heart. Now, all of us can't trust our emotions here when they're out of sync. Every time you feel something, that'd be a little bit flaky. But as you develop yourself, you can go with the impulses of your heart. Do you know I do that sometimes? I'll go out to a restaurant or do something else, and all of a sudden, within my heart, it's a spiritual thing, but there's an emotional thing there. I'll feel a little bit of an emotional pull in a direction. That's the Holy Spirit leading me in a direction where God wants me to minister. Have affection for, like a friend. God will always be God, but He wants to be more. He wants to be more than that. He's your friend. He's your brother as well. You can develop a love relationship with God and let it be intimate. Now it says we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul. People don't like to get soulful. God created music. It all meant to give Him glory, to give Him honor, and to give Him praise. And you need to get out of your box and realize how big God is. God is too big to be stuck to one style of music. Now, people would get in here and they say, well, they just get like that. They're real emotional in Nations Church because the pastor is black. And y'all really do that black stuff real good and everybody gets to clapping. That's what it's all about. That's why everybody's so funky in there. It's a black pastor. Let me tell you something. It's not a black thing. It's a God thing. It's not a black thing. It's a God thing. It's not a black thing. It's a God thing. God gave you your heart. God gave you your emotions, and you're going to learn to express them and use them, and you're going to find release as you do that. Everybody could stand to loosen up every now and then. If you let go in church, you wouldn't be letting go at home as much. You freak out here every now and then, and you get home, you might not be freaking out as much. And you can tell by the face of some people, they really need a Holy Ghost help somewhere. I mean, some people say, I used to tell people, why don't people want to get saved? Because they probably don't want to be like some of us. I mean, we got the whole world in their hand, and we look like somebody just shot our dog. Come on. You'll be able to tell some things. If Jesus saved you, set you free, healed you, delivered you, at least you'd smile. If he lifts you from the pit of hell, you could at least lift one lip to get the crack a smile out someplace. You can learn to live. And all over throughout the world, Jesus is about to come back, and the church is coming alive. Amen. People are worshiping God with all of their heart, with all of their soul. They're no longer stuck in a box and say, you got to do it this way. God is too big. So listen, it says, with all of your soul. So everybody look at somebody and say, you got to get soulful when you worship God. You rob God. You rob God when you separate your emotions from your worship. God doesn't want robots. He wants living beings and living people that he created. I tell you what, sometimes God is moved by a tear in your eye. Sometimes God's moved when you just can't do anything at all, but just stand there. Sometimes worship is just so sweet when you just can't see anything, but you just dwell there in it. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. With all of your heart and all of your soul. Don't rip them off. Don't rip them off. We think that we come to church and we just get on the spiritual side where we just start thinking about godly things. No, God wants all of you. All of you. All of you. He wants you to turn it over and you yield it to God. God's not out to kill your emotions. He's out to wash them in the Word of God. You remember when he said, mighty rushing river, move over me and let your water wash me clean. I didn't stop screaming. I just changed what I was screaming about. Isn't that a funeral home? You got a living God. You got more life than the people in the world. Something wrong when the football stadium is louder than the church of God. And they're just throwing the ball and getting paid to throw a ball around. Those people are going crazy. Jesus won everything for us. And he won everything for us. And we all sit up here like we're locked in here. They expect bars on the front door. When do we get to get out of here? Thou shalt love your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. It's not enough just to hang around God. You've got to hang around him and love him. Anybody, you know, you can see relationships all the time and say, I'm with you. I don't want to be, but I got this ring on my finger. I just got to be here. There are people that like that. There are people that live their marriages that way. You know, they're just there because they got the ring on their finger. They're stuck. Well, you know, there are a lot of Christians that way. There are a lot of people that go to church every week that are in, that won't leave church, but they're just in there because they said that sinner's prayer. You know, and the Sunday that they miss, it's the Sunday Jesus comes. It's not supposed to be that way. And if it's that way, there's something wrong. There's a part of Jesus that you don't know, that you need to know, and he makes life sweet. Now, it's not enough to love God with just your spirit. You got to love him with your soul, your emotions. You also must love the Lord with all of your what? Might. Love him with your might. Love him with, how do you love God with your might? I mean, I tell you what, if the church is loving God with all of its might, we must be some pretty weak people. I mean, we must be some pretty weak people if we're loving God with all of our might. We can do much more than this. We can do much more than this. You can do much more than that. And you're in sin when you don't, because the Bible says you should. It'll take a while to get there, but you'll get there. So you love God with all of your might. That means, when I looked up the word, I said, what do you mean by might? It says exceedingly, more than enough. Overdo it. Be tacky with your praise. You ever seen people that overdress? Gaudy? That's what he's talking about. Get gaudy with your worship. Get gaudy with your worship. Try it. See whether you like it or not. Try it one time. It's in the Bible. You know, and you can say, I'm just doing it because the Word tells me to. I'm just doing it because the Word tells me to. So you're to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your might. Now listen, in these words which I command you this day, we're going to talk, somebody say the Ten Commandments. And everybody's really into the Ten Commandments. You're not going to be able to do the Ten Commandments until you do this. The Ten Commandment, when you love God, the Ten Commandment just happens. People get off when they get all crazy by trying to perform the Ten Commandments. If I don't do this, I don't do that. If you love God, you'll be able to do that. If you love God, I mean, you'll be able to do the things that God wants you to do. This is, he said, listen, this is the premise of the whole thing. You got many people are sitting up there whipping the people and beating the people. Don't you do this. Don't honor thy mother and father. All these things that the children of Israel could never do, could never perform. All these covenants and all these commandments they could never keep. And I tell you what, you're not going to be able to keep them. You're not going to be able to keep them. You're not going to be able to do what God wants you to do unless you do the first thing. The first and greatest thing is to love God with all of your heart and all of your soul. Somebody says, well, where do I start with this new life? Start by loving God. Fall in love with God, and you'll just do it. You'll just do it. It'll just happen. Let it happen. Now listen, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God first and keep his commandments. Notice that it says keep his commandments second. Why did it say second? Because you're not going to be able to keep his commandments until you do what? Love him. Many times people want to skip the other stuff and just throw the law at people, the book at people, beat them over their head. They need to go back to kindergarten. They need to go back to spiritual kindergarten. Just love God for a bit. Why don't you start there, and then you'll be able to do the other things. That's where it starts. And every time he talks about commandments, when he gave out the law and all these things, first thing he says, first thing you do is love God. And then you can keep his charge and his statutes and his judgment and his commandments always. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 8. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast as he hath sworn unto thy fathers and give thee all the land which he hath promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them. Wow, he said, if you do all this stuff I tell you to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 9, which I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Wow. That's all he wanted was somebody to love him. That's all God wants out of you. Forget all the extra stuff, all the extra junk. What God wants from you today, he's not after your habits. He's not after your habits. He can't do anything with you. He's not after robots. He wants people that fall in love with him. And when you fall in love with God, he'll do the rest. He'll make you what you should be. You need to love God and love him to the point to where when somebody mentions his name, you just get a smile on his face. If thou keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee, is to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add 3 cities more. Well, I tell you what, somebody, I like that word add. Everybody say add. Well, there's one benefit to loving God. Add. God will multiply you when you love him. God will multiply you when you love him. Those that love God will receive 2 blessings. One, they'll be able to perform the law. The law of God will just happen out of them. The second one, as you start to perform the law of God, guess what? There are covenant blessings and covenant promises that will happen as you obey God. Notice that all the covenant, and when you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Deuteronomy chapter 32, and then you read all about all these promises, you do this and I'll do this for you. You do this, I'll do this. Those were all, you know, all the blessings of God are conditional. If you do one thing, God will do another thing. Well, listen, if you want to receive the blessings of God, do the law. Guess what? You can't do the law unless you love God. Love God, you'll perform the law, and then God will multiply you because you're able to do what he told you to do. Isn't that a good thing? You can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it in the flesh. You got to do it by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God loves God. So love God, and you'll find yourself just stuff just dropping off from you. Stuff just dropping off from you. You find something better. Stop trying to just throw stuff out of your life. Remember, say, when you get all that junk out of you, Jesus will come in. When you get all that junk out of you, Jesus will come in. You clean up, and he might just send the Holy Ghost to help you out if you get all clean up. No, you need the Holy Ghost to clean you up. You need the Holy Ghost to get in you and keep you clean. He is there to convict you of sin. So what? Now, if the Holy Ghost is there to convict you of sin, the Holy Ghost is coming into a clean temple to convict it of sin. Think. The Holy Ghost is coming into a clean temple to convict it of sin? No. Holy Ghost is coming to make you what you should be. You cannot be holy before God. It takes Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit to keep you holy and to keep you sanctified and to keep you pure and to keep you clean. And if you think you got a righteous in and of yourself, you're a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner. You need some help. You need the blood of Jesus to wash you whiter than snow. He doesn't want your works. He doesn't want all your actions. He wants your love and he wants your devotion. He'll clean you up. You don't have water that can wash you white enough. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. But you get the Holy Ghost and he'll start to work on you. Isn't it great? God will come in you and you just love God and he hooks you up so he can bless you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. It's a very powerful scripture right here. We're going to be getting into this a little bit more. You need this teaching. You need this teaching. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Don't tell me you love God and somebody offers you a candy bar. Somebody said, oh, I love God a lot. And you just act like that. And somebody said, "And somebody, if somebody were going to give you a Rolls Royce and you jump up and down, there's a problem. You should act just like you act in church then. Just sit there and wait till it's over. Well, thank you very much for that car. I mean, just be for real. Just be real about it. People are a trip. We lie. I mean, you know, somebody offers you a Snickers bar, and a Snickers bar will bring a smile on your face. You see? It's just natural. It's spiritual as well as natural. We get so spiritual that we're crazy. We live in this big lie. Do a survey. Do a statistical survey of your life. When I like something, I do this. When I don't like something, I do this. But with God, it's different. You know, when I go to the dentist and he pulls my teeth, I act like this. When I go to a football and we win, I act like this. Survey yourself and get real. It's not that deep. It's not that heavy. It's just plain and common. Just love God. How do you love God? Just love God. Same love, same devotion, same thing. You might say, well, man, I don't have it. Because you don't know enough about him. Find out more about him that would cause you to love him more. It's a love relationship that will never grow tired. They'll always be doing something. I mean, the honeymoon will never be over with Jesus Christ. Every day his mercies are new. And it's so exciting. It never gets old. You can be walking in this thing tomorrow. Next week, I tell you what, there'll be a new thing about God that you found out that you just have to be get excited about. It will never get old. And if your relationship with God has gotten cold, gotten old, you don't feel any devotion, you don't have the real thing, you just got a picture of what it used to be. Sitting on the dresser. Keep it fresh and keep it new. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. God will do something within you so that you can love him more. Isn't that good? God, we sing a song here. We wrote that song and people thought it was really crazy. No, all of you, none of me. Lord, break my heart so the living water will flow. So many of our hearts are so calloused by the wounds of the world. You know, by pain and things that we've experienced that we don't, I mean, we keep our emotions locked up inside of us, our heart, and the things that are special, we block it away. We don't want to be hurt again. But God wants to do something for you this morning. He wants to circumcise that heart that you've padlocked, put iron straps around it. He wants to circumcise the heart, separate that heart unto himself that you might love God just simply, just purely love God the way that he wants you to love him. He helps us do what he wants us to do. God will help you love him. We were writing a song about it. We only got 1 to 3 lines of the song, but people couldn't understand what we were talking about. And they couldn't hang, you know, they didn't understand it. But we were writing a song back. And one of the lines of the song, I don't love you like I want to. I don't love you like I want to. You know, but yet you give yourself over and over and over and over again. It's okay to be real. You know what? I get to the point sometimes I pray and say, God, I love you, but not like I want to. You know? You paid much too high a sacrifice. You deserve her fiery love. God deserves so much more love. Valentine's Day, we think about the people that are special, most special to us. And we find reasons to love them. funerals, different people go to funerals, and you think of all the things that makes you love that person, that made you love that person at a funeral. You dig through 30 years of history to find every loving thing about that person that would cause you to love that person. I mean, that person could have been beating you upside the head with a bat, but you're going to find something to love at that funeral. God deserves your love, your emotion, and your devotion. And I tell you what, as you learn to express that love and devotion toward God with all of your heart, your intellect, your mind, and also your emotions, you're going to find stuff just start to break off of you. Things will get better. It's springtime. We believe in the four seasons of faith here at Nations Church. And what do you mean by the four seasons of faith? That faith travels in seasons. Faith travels in seasons. And I believe that the springtime is a season of intimacy. Spring is a season of intimacy where there's an anointing on intimacy with God and intimacy, period. And I would encourage you in this season, you know, as the flowers are blooming, you know, the cherry blossoms, if y'all got them down here, you know, are out or whatever's going on, get intimate with God and enhance your love relationship. Because if you don't work on stuff, guess what? It will dwindle away. You got to keep working on it again. Somebody say, I will fall in love with God. There was one church in the Bible when Jesus returned. He said, you've left your first love. You've left your first love. You did all these things. I mean, they were doing everything they were supposed to do. But your first commandment, they just didn't love God. There are a lot of people that go to work every day because they need a paycheck. But there are some people that go to work because they love their job. You're not going to make a difference in your life until you learn to love God. And you worship God because you love God. Why don't you say that?